Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos, Baltimore. We are Baltimore positive, positively into. I'm wearing my Curio Orange Baltimore shirt, so you know it's a baseball segment coming your way. Luke Jones joined us here. He will be joining me on Friday at Fadley's for a delicious crab cake, maybe some shrimp salad, maybe some oysters Rockefeller. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions, Curio, and others. It's all the Back to the Future scratch-offs. Still have these. I will be having these for now 17 crab cake tour stops this summer. I just announced another place. So I'm adding them. I'm getting all the dates located over the weekend. Everything will be out. We are starting things at Fadley's on Friday. We'll be at the Y in Randallstown on Tuesday, celebrating Juneteenth with them, talking about the pool, talking about the summer, talking about all the things that the Y does, which we have done here many times. So it'll be looking forward to seeing John Hoey and getting up to Randallstown as well. We'll be at Reader's Crab House on the 26th. We're going to be at Costas and Timonium in early July. We're going to be out at 1623 Brewing in Eldersburg next month as well. There's a rumor that DePasquale's even has a crab cake, and we're going to be heading down there in July in Canton. This guy here was at the Oriole Park at Camden Yards on Tuesday night for yet another Oriole loss. The Detroit Tigers are in town. This generally means they're going to have better pitching, amongst other things, than what the Orioles have. If you don't have tickets on Thursday night, pay the extra money. Give Katie, she needs the money. Give Katie Griggs the money and go see Scooble pitch. Luke, how are you? Last place baseball. It's just sort of like what we've been doing the last 15 years, kind of sort of. I'm still in a little bit of a state of shock that the season's kind of gone away. I'm wondering why we're talking about it and who's watching it and who's engaged with it the way they would be if the team was, I don't know, 500 and not 15 games under.
Yeah, I mean, it's this is what happens when you fall 18 under in May. I mean, they've played better the last 2.5 weeks. They had won 9 of 11. They've now lost 3 of the last 4. This is why I was talking about the A's series being as disappointing as it was, because you had won 9 of 11, and the A's had played woeful baseball for the 3.5 weeks prior to that. And I also was looking ahead to say, hey, the Tigers are coming to town. They're really good. They have the best record in baseball. You're going to face Scooble on Thursday night. It's going to be really tough to win a series, let alone continue to be on the roll that they were on. So, obviously the enthusiasm, optimism that had tried to build when you win 9 of 11. I mean, they've still won 10 of their last 15. They're playing better, but it's a reminder of just how incredibly well they're going to have to play for an extended period of time to really gain any traction. I mean,
And what that
okay.
team looks like, what a great team looks like,
Sure.
what a
No
team that's
question.
capable of knocking off 650, 700 baseball for a month or two.
Yeah.
You just to do that for a month or two, you have to be really good. Not lucky. I think they were lucky 2 summers ago. We talked about that every single night, winning one run games, doing statistically anomaly type stuff. Being that good is what the Yankees have been for 30 years. Being that, like what the Dodgers have been in recent times, it's not easy to do, and it really, really involves pitching.
Yeah,
As much as
well.
situational hitting and leaving guys on base, they can get better at that. Once you get 12 hits in a game and you strand guys, I'll start to hear, well, something will fall in. But falling in isn't pitching. Pitching is, even when you have it, you don't think you have it. Ask the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still not going to go easy on their hitting because their hitting's been woeful this year. I mean, the thing that you point to in that regard, and I agree with you,
Well,
and
that's what's made them last place instead of just bad.
well,
So instead of being the Red Sox, they're this because they're hitting.
But their offense was supposed to be a lead, and their offense has been bottom seven in baseball, right? I mean, it's been completely unacceptable. So, I mean, we've talked about it. It's been a disaster.
Six hits on Tuesday night. Never
Winning,
won a lot of games with six hits.
And hey, if you're looking for a positive out of it, I mean, we actually saw, Jackson Holliday gets a hit off a lefty. Gunnar Henderson, who's been really bad against left-handed pitching this year, had that 10 pitch at bat that ended in an RBI single. But just top to bottom, and let's not bury the lead. The big news Tuesday: Jordan Westberg back in the lineup, Cedric Mullins back in the lineup. Tyler O'Neill continues a rehab assignment at Norfolk. Looks like if he's not back by the end of the homestand, he'll be back for the start of the next road trip next week. I think they're trying to get him some at bats, understanding he was playing with that neck slash shoulder issue for a while, right? In the same way they did the same thing with Westberg. It wasn't just like, hey, play one game in the minors and you're good to go. Let's give you some at bats to start feeling better about yourself and get on a roll. But you looked at the lineup on Tuesday night. Ramon Laureano hitting cleanup aside, top to bottom, it's probably as formidable as the lineup they've had on paper, maybe since opening day, because you have Couser in there, you have Westberg in there, you have Mullins back in there. The 7-8-9 looked better than it's looked on paper recently, but the results didn't really show up on Tuesday night. And as we talked about, when they had won 9 of 11, the starting pitching and the pitching in general had really been the driving force for that. Cade Povich, I mean, Tuesday was a perfect example of sometimes it's a thin line between what can be a good start and something that completely gets away from you. And that's exactly what happened to him. I mean, in the fourth inning there, he's got two outs, nobody on, gives up a double. And then RBI single after that, and then the fifth inning, same thing happens. Two outs, nobody on. At that point, it's 2-1, and you're thinking, "Hey, this has been a perfectly fine, acceptable kind of start from Cade Povich," but gives up another two out double. Bloop. Couple batters later, Spencer Torkelson hits a 2-run homer, and it's 5-1. He's out of the ball game a batter later. So. It's a reminder of just how small that margin for error is, especially when you're going up against a team like the Tigers, who it is amazing, Nestor. And you still look at that team, and there aren't a ton of household names. I mean, of course, we'll see Skubal Thursday night, and I'm not taking anything away. Torkelson's had a great year. I mean, obviously, he's a former top pick in the draft, but you still look at that Tigers team going back to last August. And it's still like, how real is it, right? Because on paper, you don't recognize a ton of those names. They're not household names, yet they're really, really good. And Tuesday was another example of a game where, they have an opener. It's kind of a bullpen kind of game. And, well, it works for them. And they shut down the Orioles. And not that that's any impressive feat in 2025, but a reminder of just how much the Tigers have going for them. And just where the Orioles are right now, even with getting some guys back, it certainly didn't materialize on Tuesday night. And as I'm working on right now at BaltimorePositive.com, can a more complete lineup start to live up to expectations for them? Regardless of what that means for any dream of getting back in the wild card race or anything, just the idea that you want to play better the rest of the way. It didn't really show up on Tuesday night, and they got a late home run from Jordan Westberg in the ninth. That was good to see, but still an offensive effort that was lacking, and a start from Cade Povich. Like I said, it started out looking pretty promising, but he just kind of unraveled. And this was his term. This isn't me saying this. He called it an outing. He said it was soft, is what it was. Giving up two out runs the way I did in the fourth and fifth inning. He was frustrated, and certainly a frustrating night for the Orioles yet again.
Well, you like Povich, right? I mean, you're of the mindset that this could get better. He could learn on the job at the big leagues. Because let's be honest, dude, he would still be pitching in Norfolk if Bradish didn't blow his arm out, if Wells were here, if they had signed Corbin Burns. He would be a number two starter at Norfolk, is what he would be.
And let me be clear. When
I don't say he hasn't earned his way here, but this happened by accident.
it has, and I mean, he has an ERA after Tuesday. His ERA is right around 5.5. I'm not sitting here saying Cade Povich has future ace or number two or number three starter written on him. Let's be very clear about that. You do see his ability to miss bats and strike people out. At times, he's mixed in that changeup effectively. There have been other times where he either hasn't thrown it as effectively or just doesn't throw it enough. There have been times where I've kind of wondered about that even with him. Not specifically Tuesday, but just in a general sense. But I mean, this is the kind of guy that he's learning on the job. And, when I say that I think there's the makings of a decent major league pitcher in there, I don't know what that means, right? Is it fifth starter? Is it eventually a swing man out of the bullpen? Kind of that what we thought the Albert Suarez role was going to be this year before he got hurt. I don't know. And that's not to say that I have the conviction to say he's definitely going to figure it out. And you look at the final results. I mean, 4 2/3 innings, 9 hits. I mean, he only walked one. That wasn't a major issue. I mean, the pitch count got up there a little bit. Even the first couple of innings, he did throw a lot of pitches. But you see him at times look like he's figuring it out. I mean, had a good start against Seattle last week. A team that's played well overall. So you see the flashes, you see potential, you see the ability to strike some people out, but the efficiency is still lacking. And again, what we saw on Tuesday night, I mean, that's just disappointing. You get 2 outs, nobody on, get back into the dugout, right? Get back in the dugout and turn it back over to your offense to get going. And I don't know how much of it is, I don't know if it's a lack of focus. I don't know if it's just the idea that things unravel as they often do. I mean, we've talked about Dean Kramer unraveling at various times over the last 3 or 4 years. And he's someone who, has kind of been a kind of sort of a league average starter the last 3 years when you combine all the numbers. So, I'm not ready to give up on Cade Povich by any stretch of the imagination, but what we saw on Tuesday night was, that can't happen. I mean, again, you look at that start in the fourth inning, he's on his way to having a good start, and it's 2 outs and nobody on, and you give up a double to the number seven hitter, and then Javi Baez drives in a run. Same thing then in the fifth inning, 2 outs, nobody on. Granted, it's the heart of the order, but you give up a double, a bloop, and then Torkelson hits a home run a batter later, and a game that's 2-1 is 5-1, and you're out. You don't even make it through five, so it can spiral really quickly, and it did for Cade Povich, but. A lot of this is what you just said. If all things had gone by design over the last, I don't want to say just this season, because the Bradish and Tyler Wells injuries go back to early last year. But, Cade Povich would be a guy that isn't just getting the ball every fifth day automatically. I mean, maybe at some point this year, if everyone had been healthy, maybe he's forcing his way into the conversation as the, say, the number five starter. But the way it profiles right now, I mean, yeah, he's going to get the ball every fifth day because what are your alternatives right now? I mean,
He's
it's
one of the
just a,
few guys whose arms haven't fallen off, right? Have fell
sure,
off, right?
yeah.
I mean,
Well,
literally.
and that's part of this too, right? I mean, availability is part of this. I mean, it's just that's way it, the way it is. I mean, even Zach Eflin, who was someone you were counting on to be available, missed a month. So, Grayson Rodriguez still hasn't thrown a pitch. He's still somewhere in the early stages of a throwing progression. So, I mean, it's a big reason why the Orioles are in last place. All right. I mean, they're obviously I have beat up the offense much more because of expectations. We had questions and concerns about this pitching staff long before Grayson Rodriguez situation and Eflin missing a month and Albert Suarez being on the 60-day IL. I mean, just go down the list. I mean, and obviously the Bradish and Tyler Wells injuries, were pre-existing situations for them. So, you tell me the pitching is this bad, back when you and I were at Pizza John's talking to Dave Shinen, who, by the way, was at the ballpark on Tuesday.
The real Dave Shinen.
I actually think he was
Why
there
Dave
to,
Shinen?
I think he was actually there to talk to the Tigers because I didn't see him. I didn't see him in the Orioles clubhouse, but I did see him said
Well, what would
hello.
the Washington Post want with the Orioles? Ain't no news here.
I mean, it's no good news anyway, right? I mean, other than these guys
Ain't
coming
they got
back,
their own
but
baseball team down there?
they
How's
do.
your team doing?
They
Hey,
do.
Shinen, how's your team doing?
So, yeah, but it's
Ain't
just,
no good neither.
I mean,
Beat us.
it's much of the same, right? Tuesday was much of the same. I mean, the lineup looked better on paper, but it's got to start performing. And it's the one thing I kind of said, even when they won 9 of 11, go look at the runs scored per game over that stretch. Nearly identical to what their season runs per game average has been. So, I mean, it's they've got to score runs. They've got to hit the ball. We were talking about that back in spring training, and they haven't done that. Now, the injuries piled up on the offensive side as well, the position side as well. That's part of it, but I can't sit here and say you just use that as an excuse for everything. As Buck Showalter would say, that would be convenient if you wanted to go that direction. They haven't been good enough, and after a stretch of 9 of 11, which, at this point we'll see, but even bad teams win 9 of 11. Typically, at some point, over the course of a season.
Well, I'm wondering if they're going to win six in a row again. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like
I mean,
that's probably they
but
that's very
even
difficult to do, to
it
win
is,
for a
but
week when you don't have. Well, I mean,
but
the
what's
hitting
tough
should get
is,
better. I would agree. I'm with you.
it
Westberg's back.
should.
I was going to talk
Yeah.
about Westberg with you and what that could mean
Sure.
for them. But that six game winning, like that's might be the only one this year.
Yeah,
And
and
I'm willing to live with that. And I'm also willing to live with this. That is the team circles the drain and continues to lose these games. They're going to lose to Scooble on Thursday. We're going to get together on Friday at a Fadley's, and they're going to do what they do. There is going to come very soon, like All-Star games in 4 weeks. And then the trading deadline, right? Like the August 3rd, Cade Povich might be your number one starter. You know what I mean? Like if Elias does to this what I think he's going to do to this, but just not going to make Katie Griggs happy about selling tickets, or Mr. Rubenstein, this is the way the game's played. He doesn't know, baseball from
Yeah.
Mishka Bibble. Like this is the way we play this. We deal off everybody you've heard of to get more Cade Povich's and more Tyler Bradish's and more Kyle Bradish and more Tyler Wells, more young pitching. There are going to be deals made, and the team probably won't be as good in August as it is today. Maybe hitting wise, the young players that we're
Yeah.
talking about that need to seed, whether it's Mayo, whether Kerstak comes back, whatever that would be. But I keep thinking this is going to be a diminished team. In August, it's going to be worse than it is in June to some degree. To some degree, maybe it's not if Henderson's hitting 392 in August, right? I mean,
Yeah.
which is possible for all of them. They'll win some games, but I have a feeling this is going to be a diminished team in 6, 7 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough to argue otherwise. How diminished? I mean, I still look at a lot of these guys and I just question, what are you really going to get that's really going to make you better for next year, for 2027? These aren't, there's not a Manny Machado that you're dealing, right? And maybe that's a bad example because the Orioles waited a year and a half too long to deal Machado if that was going to be the outcome, rather than extending him. But I think there's still something to be said when you kind of figure out, okay, where are you going to be next year? Are you viewing this as a more extreme kind of teardown? And obviously I'm not saying a 2018 like teardown because that thing had already burned to the ground anyway. But are you looking at this thing in terms of, if you're getting back on track in 2026, where does Elias stand with ownership, right? I mean, these are complicated questions, but I think you also do have to take into account when you are talking about guys that are on expiring deals. One, do you have some interest in re-signing them? Two, what's the value for them in a trade? And also keep in mind the qualifying offer system, where if you make a qualifying offer, one, do they accept it and come back on a 1-year deal? Or two, do they decline, and then you have a compensatory pick. You have draft compensation. I think you have to factor in what is the value of that pick as opposed to what potential prospect you might get for any of these guys in a given deal. So I think there's more nuance here than just your run-of-the-mill bad team that you're selling off anything that's not bolted to the floor, right? I mean,
Well,
I
they're not
don't.
getting anything for Ryan Mountcastle,
And
right?
right,
So
I mean,
some of
he.
these pieces that we've talked about for years, we talked about Austin Hayes this time last year. What are they going to get? What are they really going to get from Mullins? I mean, who are the candidates here? Well, I mean, Eflin's got to get dealt, right? Shogano's probably going to get dealt.
Well, I mean,
Mullins will be
do
dealt,
they
right?
have to though? I mean, because I would argue, and of course, I need to see Zach Eflin look like Zach continue to look like Zach Eflin. He had the two rough starts coming off off the IL not long ago, but I'm not sure Zach Eflin isn't someone I wouldn't be interested in re-signing to, I don't know, a 2-year deal, 3-year deal, right? I mean, I'm not for crazy money,
Well, if they're going to be any good, he would look much better on their staff on opening day than trying to replace him in the offseason.
But that's my point, Nestor, of what I'm talking about here, that I'm not just trading everybody just for the sake of doing it. I need to see what I'm getting. Now, if some team really, really wants Zach Eflin, and to your point, they're going to give whether it's Cade Povich or Kyle Bradish, again, it's tough to say. And let's be clear, none of these guys are fetching you prospects that are, top 25 on the top 100 prospect list. I mean, they don't have any commodities like that. So what are you getting? What are you getting? Lottery tickets, low, 18-year-old Dominican prospects, which is, if Charlie Morton pitches well for the next month and you pay off some of his salary, could you get a couple lottery ticket types? I mean, I guess maybe, but that's my thing. Like, where are you? What are you trying to accomplish next year? How much work do you need to do to this roster? With free agency and trades, right? So it's tough for me to answer that. Yes, I fully expect some trades to be made, but if you completely gut this thing, then what are the expectations next year? Because we're already talking about them not having enough starting pitching. So if you automatically just deal Eflin and Sagano, well, I mean, you're gonna sign three pitchers this offseason? I mean, I don't know. So, of course, people could make the argument, well, you can deal Eflin or you could deal Sagano and try to re-sign them in the offseason if their new team would be a rental. And I'll hear that. But my point in saying all that is there is some nuance here. There are some considerations here where it's more than just trade or not trade. It's trade. It's not trade. It's are you giving that guy a qualifying offer? Are you going to try to re-sign that individual if it's someone that you feel can be of value to you in 2026? And by the way, if that's the scenario, you should be talking to some of those guys' agents right now, right? I mean, you should, if you're Mike Elias. So I don't know, man.
Well, you're still running the team for now.
For now, at least, right? I mean, until we hear otherwise, I mean, that's the story, right? I mean, we haven't heard from ownership. We haven't heard from Elias since his scrum that he did in front of a few reporters in Milwaukee.
Well, they're also
So,
good enough that they're not drafting one or three or five or
well, and
eight
that's
this
part
year,
of it too.
right? So
Well,
that's another part of this. So even talking about the draft doesn't, there's no juice in that for you and I to talk about who they're going to pick in the 20s, you know?
and even understanding that now that you have more, you don't have a straight system of you just tank for the number one pick. Not that they are going to be in that category anyway. I think the Rockies have that covered at this point. But you have to look at this thing and kind of, I think there's some,
Picking 19th, by the way. That 19 is their pick.
And by the way, they do have a couple other picks, not long after that. So that's good for 3 or 4 years down the road, but that's not doing anything for you next year. So my point with that is not that they're not going to make trades. They're going to make trades. I think that's obvious at this point in time. But who exactly is someone that is going to carry the value that makes it make sense? And whose value is a little more questionable, where you say, all right, we can get this return at the trade deadline, or we can make that individual qualifying offer. They might take it, and if they take it, then you have that player on a 1 year deal. Or if they don't take it, you're looking at a likely draft pick for that individual. And that draft pick, depending on what the offer is at the trade deadline, that draft pick might have very comparable value. In some cases, could have better value. I mean, we also know, and going back to 2018, we saw this. We know that teams like to hold on to their prospects, right? And that's something that Mike Elias has been criticized for, right? And understandably
Hey,
so.
he could have had Scooble this time last year for holiday if you want to make that deal, right?
Yeah. I mean, I still don't know if the Tigers really would have done it, but obviously it was a non-starter unless Jackson Holliday was going to be thrown in there. And look,
I had Lynn Henning on about a
yeah,
month
I
and a
mean,
half ago when we played in Detroit, and he was absolutely like,
yeah.
he's like, Scooble was available, but you had to give your guy. You
You
had,
had to, right.
it was going to be a Westberg, a Holliday. It was going to
Yeah.
be a real
Well,
thing.
and
And
more,
more, and
right,
right, and a
exactly.
couple of Cade
So
Povich's and
that's
a
where you
couple,
look at it
yes.
and look, would Scooble be phenomenal at the top of the Orioles rotation right now? Yeah. Problem is they're more than a Scooble away from how they currently look. So I don't know. I mean,
You're going
it's
to
gonna
be a
be,
Scooble snack on Thursday.
yeah, it's gonna, but it's gonna be fascinating. Again, I know I'm sounding wishy-washy talking about the trade deadline, and I fully expect some deals to be made, but I do think there's a little more nuance to this because you are talking about a team that I think, but Mike Elias right now is viewing this in through a lens of 2025 as a disaster, obviously, but still has some conviction that things can be back on track next year. And but how do you go about doing that? And I don't know if it's necessarily trading everything that you can trade at the trade deadline and then thinking that you're going to be able to have the kind of fruitful off season to make up for all that. So, like I said, is there one or two individuals out of that group of guys that could be dealt that you might try to re-sign? Or you might say, hey, we'll do the qualifying offer and see how that goes. But, Cedric
I'm trying to see
Mullins,
where the Enrique Bradfords are, right? Like, the names that
Bradfield.
yeah, Bradfield, excuse me,
No, it's okay.
hit 234,
He,
like at double A, and
well,
had a
he had
decent year last year.
the thing that
For all these minor league guys, they move
he
up
had
and
a
down, so
hamstring.
it's kind of, you look at their stats and you don't know where they are. But I remember, I'm like, hey, what happened to that kid they drafted a couple years ago? Because it's the first time I said Bradford. That's how little we've talked about him, Bradfield,
Well, and keep in
because
mind,
it
he
doesn't
wasn't like
feel
a top
close.
three pick or, that's when they were
But
picking
he's
mid.
first round. He's 17th overall. So if
For
they're getting
sure.
19th this year, that's what you're getting. That's
Well,
what you got.
and the problem, what really hurt him is he had a hamstring injury early in the year. I mean, that's th that and that was unfortunate. I mean, it's another injury, right? We haven't talked about it a whole lot, Nestor. Their minor league system has had a bad year too. I mean, it's wild. I know you and I have talked about this so many times, and I don't want to belabor the point, but I'm still at a loss for it's almost like a light switch got flipped in late June last year, and just how much has gone wrong since
Whole thing
then.
went to hell, Luke, is what happened.
I mean, I know you say that sounded funny, but like it kind of has, right? I mean, it feels that way, right? I mean, the young core, the pitching injuries, the position player injuries, the minor leagues not looking as good. I mean, all of it. And I don't look, Mike Elias has to be accountable. Brandon Hyde's already been accountable and been shown the door. But there's also been a lot that's happened that I don't know how you could have predicted that certain things to go as
Baseball
wrong as
is
they've
about bad
gone.
luck and good luck. I
So,
mean,
oh, I mean,
all these years in, it just is.
they've had missteps. There's no doubt about it. But there's also been a lot that's gone wrong that I'm sitting here like, unless you think Mike Elias is like a fortune teller or any general manager's a fortune teller, there's also been things that have gone wrong that I would not have anticipated. So that's not to. It's not to absolve him by any stretch of the imagination, but
Either way, his decisions haven't worked out. They're in last
no, it
place right
hasn't. I
now.
mean,
Yes.
a couple have. Sagato worked out great. I mean, that one worked out really well. Charlie Morton, not so much. Kyle Gibson, which again was a late spring kind of trying to account for where they were health-wise, didn't work out at
But you're
all.
also judging these things in a 8-week thing. I mean, the Rodgers kid, if he comes out and wins 15 games next year and gets back in the rotation, you'll look at that differently. And you're also going to judge him based on these young players that, quite frankly, I'm guessing he won't be around because new ownership is going to be very, very upset about last place and
Yeah,
upset
it's hard
about
to
their
say.
earnings and upset about the ledger sheet at the end of the year that they didn't sell any tickets and they're not making any money, and they
Yeah.
went through all Greg Bader worked all off season to get the streaming launch, and nobody's buying it because the team stinks. So that we'll get on that day by day. Luke's at the ballpark. Luke is out in Owings Mills. There are OTAs this week. Mandatories are next week. We hope Lamar shows up next week. By the way, the thing with Lamar and money and having a reporting bonus and him just eschewing that, it's amazing, right? It's amazing how little value $750,000 has when you have $200 million in the bank, right?
Yeah, I mean, sounds good to me. I mean, I'll show up at OTAs for that,
Quarter
but
million a week just to show up and walk around.
I mean, it's,
You think
but
money hasn't changed Lamar Jackson? I mean, seriously, like all he wanted, I want to play, I want to play, I want to play, I want to play, I want to practice. I need to practice it. I mean, that's the stink of this. Like, and for you to take the other side last week, I'm still scratching my head and saying, I just these are team organized activities. They're like
voluntary. Voluntary.
so voluntary that we're going to pay you
Voluntary.
$250,000 a week to show up.
Voluntary. And he's the best quarterback in the league in the regular season the last 2 years.
Well,
I mean, if you can tell me what the
I'll tell you this right now. If I were him, I
what's
wouldn't
the
let
direct
Bisciotti keep
correlate?
any of the money on his side of the fence. If you want to get all of Bisciotti's money, come out here, file your nails on
Okay.
Tuesday, Wednesday, and
Fair
Thursday,
enough.
and
No,
walk
I
around and eat some of the fruit and wave to your teammates and
let me be
collect
clear.
$50,000 a
You're
day to
really
Peter.
miscategorizing what I've said. I just don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't. That's what I'm
I think
saying.
it's an excused absence in your mind, and to me, there's no excuse for his absence,
Just don't think it matters
including the
that much.
$750,000 that they put in as the poison pill to say, look, dude, we really We want you here in June. The coach wants you here in June. The coach wants you here in June so much that he was ish talking you on text to a media member this time 2 years ago for not showing up. So I think this, as a management decision, when Bisciotti and Harbaugh and DaCosta saw that this kid didn't want to come in and practice this time of the year, they put together a look. We need to get him here. We need to make sure that we get him here. Let's put something in the contract that'll get him here. That's enough money. It'll get him here. Hey, Lamar, if you put 750 in, will you come? I'll be there, coach. And then he's not there. I'm sure he agreed to be there this time of year. I'm sure he had a handshake because I'm sure they wouldn't have given him $250 million and said, stay home in June. I just don't think that's possible. So I don't want to belabor it again because he'll be out there running around next week. But it's an amazing thing that they put this much money on the table to try to get him in, and that's how much he doesn't want to be there. Whether it's to be a prick, whether it's to be a union guy, whether it's because he's bored, whether it's because he doesn't want to get, whatever it is, whether he's out speeding race cars on 75 and whatever he's doing, what is more important than football to John Harbaugh? Or to anybody else out there. Now, the Bisciotti, it's not life and death. It's not life and death to me. It is to him. You know, the guy I pay $15 million a year to
Right.
coach this thing. You know, so but it's life and death to everybody out there, right? You're out there. It's the reason they threw me out because I wasn't serious enough for Chad Steele. It's life and death out there. It is for John. So when the quarterback doesn't show up and they're paying him that kind of money to show up, it's something to be talked about. And it's not particularly good. I don't, it's not a good look. It's not. You and I argue about it. It's
Sure.
not a good look.
Sure. But I also think it's because we're talking about it in June and we forget about OTAs in a month. And we're certainly not talking at all about OTAs come training camp and the season. And then we're
Well, we might
reminded
have
that
talked
the,
about it a little bit when they were 0-2 to start the season
well,
last year
but I don't.
because that's what fans do. And I'm not being a jerk
Sure.
fan.
I
I'm
just
being
don't.
a person that runs a business that
Sure.
likes to have everybody on the team, especially my leaders.
Fair enough.
You know, especially the ones I'm paying
I don't.
750. I'm paying a salary against
I.
anybody else
I'm
just to
not.
show up, and he's not showing up.
I'm not arguing that John
Poor.
Harbaugh and the organization doesn't want him there. Of course they do.
You've seen the ball flopping around there this week and trying to get something done, right?
Sure, but I also see he's going to come in and look phenomenal, and he's going to be fantastic in training camp, and he's going to be fantastic in the regular season again, and we're going to see about January, right? I just
And Steve gets to keep $750,000 for himself, so that's
Sure.
good.
Sure. I mean, again, would I like to see him there? Sure. I just don't think it's that big of it. Like, I don't think it's something that has any truly consequential impact on how they're going to play in 2025. I just don't.
Okay.
That's my point. If you want to, if you want to think it's a
I
big
feel like I'm
deal.
arguing with my 12-year-old kid about whether making the bed is a good idea. It doesn't matter whether you make your bed or not. You lay in it.
Well,
Nobody's
first of
even
all, Lamar's
nobody
not a
comes to your
12-year-old
bedroom to even
kid. He's
see
a
it.
grown
But
man.
you do what you do because it's what you do. You know, that's all.
Okay. So we do it because that's the way we've always done it. So that's the argument. I mean, like, seriously, that's what you're telling me.
You analytics nerds, I tell you
I
what,
just
man.
again,
All this bad baseball is making us cross, I think.
I just don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, I
Okay.
don't think what's happening right now. I think Lamar's going to come in and he's going to look great because he looked great at the one OTA that he was at. I mean, throw pa th just dropping passes in the bucket all over the field, and they're going to be happy that he's in. And yeah, they're annoyed. I'm not disputing that at all. And I'm not disputing the idea that, yeah, you'd
When
like
you're
to have
making
him there
$50 million
ideally.
a year and you're the leader, why do you annoy your bosses? Especially when they're willing to pay you to show up. I mean,
Because they're going to see how
and you know
great he
what? I
plays
don't
in
have
the
any
fall when it
access to
actually
ask Lamar
matters.
Jackson about where the hell he was this week when you're out of practice. So, and again, I'll remind our listeners that I got thrown out of their building for not attending OTAs. So that was the excuse used that I didn't attend enough OTAs. Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. He is attending OTAs. He is attending Orioles games. And he'll be out there to watch Jared Skubel, Tarik Skubel, excuse me. Why do I call him Jared? I don't know why that is. He looks like a Jared. Maybe it's left-handed. I don't know. Tarik Skubel, or Tarik Skubel, we should say. And Luke will be out there. The Tigers are in town this weekend. We will be at Fadley's on Friday. The Angels in town, the Halos, still trying to figure it out. Don't even have Ohtani anymore. Back to the Future scratch offs. We'll have them at Fadley's. We'll also have some fried oysters, have some steamed shrimp, some crab cakes as well, because it's Friday and the weather has gotten better, which I'm very happy about. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We're watching baseball. We're watching football. None of it's good right now. We're WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.